And we finish up the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 28, beginning in verse 1. It says, "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher." Mary and Mary, both Marys, came to the tomb early Sunday morning in order to anoint the body of Christ with spices. You say, well, that was nice. Yeah, I guess it was nice to a point. Unfortunately, they were only there to honor the memory of the Lord and not to welcome him back to planet Earth after his resurrection, which is what they should have done, because he certainly predicted it several times. Although I just don't think that they understood what kind of resurrection Jesus was talking about when he predicted his own resurrection. You know, who knows? They may have thought that he meant a spiritual resurrection, or maybe come back as a ghost and show up every now and then. Who knows? Verse 2. "And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it." And I've always loved how this angel rolled back that multi-ton stone from the entrance of the tomb and sat on it as if to say, my God is in charge here, not the Roman soldiers who are guarding this place. And notice verse 3. "His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow." I mean, this angel looked like an angel should look. Verse 4. "And for fear of him, the keepers," that is the guards, "did shake and become as dead men." They certainly knew that this was a supernatural being. Maybe they didn't know it was an angel. Maybe their theology, you know, wasn't that precise. But they knew that he was something from another world. The brave, well-trained, strong Roman soldiers shook like scared puppies in the presence of this one single angel. What does that tell you about Judgment Day? You know, the guys today who think that they're too tough to admit that they are a sinner in need of a Savior will one day tremble like whipped puppies in the presence of God, the God that they reject. Verse 5. "And the angel answered and said unto the women, do not fear, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified." Notice that the angel said that to the women. The angel did not tell the soldiers not to be afraid when they saw him. But they did say that to these ladies who had come to the tomb to honor Jesus. The ladies didn't have to be afraid because Jesus was their Lord. The soldiers better be afraid because they're not right with God through Jesus Christ. It's good to be afraid if you're not ready to meet your Maker. 6. The angel says to these ladies, "He is not here, for he is risen." Look at this. "As he said," he is risen, "as he said, come see the place where the Lord lay." Notice how the angel mentions that he is risen. "As he said," a gentle rebuke from the angel, meant to emphasize that they should have been at the tomb waiting to meet Jesus rather than anoint his dead body, because he said he'd come back after 3 days. They should have known better. 7. Angel says, "Go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he goes before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him." In other words, don't keep this good news to yourself. Go tell his disciples. And of course, they would oblige. Notice verse 8. "And they departed quickly from the sepulcher with fear and great joy." Boy, their old legs must have been spinning. They did run to bring his disciples word. So they ran back to the disciples because they couldn't wait to tell them the good news. I mean, this is fantastic news. And notice how their emotions were all over the place. They had joy, they had fear at the same time. I can tell you one thing. If nothing else, this illustrates that there is never a boring moment when you know the Lord Jesus Christ and when you're walking with him. I haven't been bored in 33 years. And maybe it's been longer than that now. What year is this? It's 2015 as I make this. Take that back. I haven't been bored in 34 years because that's how long I've been saved. 34 years this month, too. Middle of February. 34 years. Never been bored once. Nothing boring about Jesus. If you spend time with him and you enjoy his company, man. Verse 9. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. Actually means all joy. And they came and held him by his feet and worshiped him. And when they held Jesus by the feet, they were touching a human body made of flesh and bones. Jesus wasn't a ghost. So if they were confused about what kind of resurrection he predicted he would have, they're not confused anymore. This is a man, a living human being. Felt like anybody else. Verse 10, then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Go tell my disciples that I'm going to meet them up north. Tell them that they're going to see me also, just as you have. Something to really look forward to. Verse 11. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch, some of the soldiers, came into the city and showed unto the chief priest all the things that were done. And so the soldiers who were guarding the tomb, those soldiers who saw this angel remove the stone, and no doubt saw the empty tomb, reported what happened to the religious leaders. Remember, these are the jokers that put Jesus to death. What are they going to think? Verse 12. And when they, the chief priest, were assembled with the elders, that would be the Sanhedrin, and this whole bunch had conspired to put Jesus to death, and had taken counsel. They thought about what the soldiers said. How are we going to handle this? How are we going to counter what happened? Well, they came up with this. They gave a large sum of money to the soldiers, saying, you say, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And these Roman soldiers had no reason to make up a story concerning Jesus being raised. So the religious rulers knew that it had happened. Their response? Well, they make up a lie that his disciples took the body. What in the world is that? Never mind that our Lord's resurrection occurred just as he said it would, proving that he was Almighty God, and that they are in big trouble for putting him to death in the first place. Never mind that. Their only concern is to save face with the people, so they do their best to deny the reality of this resurrection. As usual, they would rather have the temporary applause of people than be right with God. The fools. Stupid. How dumb can you be? 14. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. In other words, you're not going to get in trouble. You're not going to be executed for failure to guard the tomb, as would be the case normally for a Roman soldier. We'll use our pull to keep you out of trouble. And by the way, according to historical records, Pontius Pilate believed that Jesus was raised in spite of what his guards said. He believed it. In fact, Here's positive proof that he believed that Jesus was raised. He was so sure that Christ came back that he sent a letter to Caesar suggesting that Jesus be enrolled in the list of Roman gods. 15. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Boy, the Jews got on this lie immediately. The religious rulers, they got on this thing immediately and spread it far and wide, which is why so many believed it. In spite of the many holes that can be found in the story, if one would only examine it carefully. Most people don't think, though. Most people want to be told what to believe rather than investigate a matter and separate truth from lies. That's part of the reason that most people are going to go to hell, according to Jesus' own words. Verse 16, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And so the disciples follow the Lord's instructions and head north to meet the risen Christ. 17. And when they saw him, they worshiped him. But some doubted. Now, I don't know who doubted. The Bible doesn't say who doubted that this was Jesus. But it wasn't any of the 11. You know, he had more than 11 disciples. He had 11 apostles left, but he had a lot of disciples. Well, at least, what was it, 120 on the day of Pentecost? Maybe it was just others who came along. But it wasn't the 11 who doubted Jesus. The 11 remaining apostles worshiped him. They all knew for a fact that he was God. They all knew for a fact that he was man. They all knew for a fact that he was the risen Christ. And they worshiped him. And notice he received their worship. Provide even more proof that he was God. 18. And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Jesus has power. Jesus has authority in heaven and in earth. Meaning this, his authority extends over people so that he is sovereign in all things that happens here on this planet. He doesn't cause all things to happen, but he's in control of all things, behind all things. People still have a free will, but he is still sovereign and he is sovereignly using all things. And it also means that he is in control of the forces of heaven. And that would include holy angels. He's in charge of them. And it also means that he has authority over Satan, demons, and fallen angels. Evil spirits of all kinds submitted to Jesus while he was on earth. And they do today while he is in heaven. So keep that in mind when you pray. And if the occasion calls for it in your prayers, ask him to rebuke any evil spirits who may be opposing his perfect will here on earth, may be opposing his perfect will for your life. If you notice that things are just happening in rapid fire succession, bad, 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 bad is normal for this world, but there is a bad that goes beyond normal. If you read the book of Job, you can pick up on that. And often that is caused by demonic forces. You pray to Jesus and ask him to rebuke them. Verse 19, he continues, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. The command is given to all Christians. Preach Jesus. Preach Jesus to the entire world. Preach Jesus to every living soul. And if you don't have the gift of preaching and teaching, that doesn't get you off the hook. Then send offerings to those who do have those gifts. And pray for those people. And help them get out the word of God concerning Jesus. Because that's the responsibility of all Christians. Preach Jesus and baptize those who receive him. 20. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. In other words, God's ministers are commanded to teach the whole counsel of God, everything that Jesus has told us. Teach the whole counsel of God, the entire Bible from Genesis to Revelation, to all Christians.